So the end of the last volume, we're dealing with the death of Joseph. So it's the indrawing of what has been central in that state, in that prior state. And the indrawing of Joseph allows for a new state to begin. So changes of state involve a loss and regain of meaning. In basic terms, what happens is that the death of Joseph is the indrawing of what is internal, and it is, in a sense, forgotten. And it's an indrawing of meaning, if you like. And for us, it feels like a loss of meaning, which then drives us to search for meaning so that a new state can arise. And the means by which that new state can arise is that there has to be this ordering of what are termed scientifics, facts, memory, knowledge, whatever term you want to use. And what you see in this particular reading that we've just gone through now, at the end, it's about the development of what's termed the midwife, right? The midwives' houses. It's about the organization of something within the natural that can receive what is being birthed from the spiritual. And essentially what that means is that it's a capacity to discern more clearly what is of a spiritual quality versus what is of a proprial quality. So you have these two aspects of the natural represented by midwife and Pharaoh and Egypt. And with the midwife, it has to do with truths that have good within them that are being received. And with Pharaoh, it's knowledges arranged in a form that protect and maintain the sense that I am an autonomous, independent self. The love of self is tied in there. So you have these two things going on in terms of different quality of memory, knowledges, scientifics, or facts. And there's the battle, right? There's the tension that's present in all of this. So the actual Hebrew word for midwife means the bringer forth of that which is from the other side. That's the meaning when I went and looked it up. But the interesting thing is, of course, it describes the midwives as not being present as these births occur. So they come late. And the idea there is that the memory knowledges that are represented by the midwives, that structure, are only seen after the light of truths from good is present. When that is born, then the memory knowledges are reorganized into a form whereby they are able to receive that good and truth into themselves. So that is why there's this speaking of a delay. So when we first come to the word, purely at the level of knowledge, like if you just take a two-week cycle, so we come to this and we read it at the historical level initially, that's where our minds kind of plug into. And then we go through the work of pulling back from historicals to try and understand it in a way that relates to the inner life. And then as we do the practice around some aspect of the text, that then allows for an understanding to come forth that is of a spiritual quality, that is that it relates to the processes and structures of our own mind and identifying evils that need to be shunned. Once that starts to happen, knowledges of the text are then rearranged in a way that can actually hold that. So once the illustration is worked into the life, and by that, the truths are integrated into our life, the hells can't touch that. They can't touch that. They can only touch what is not integrated. And so even in that process, what you have is the removal of what isn't integrated and the strengthening of what is integrated into our life. And that builds what's termed the heavenly proprium, or a sense of self that is grounded in what is of the word, and so a recognition that it is an as of self and not a self. So all the characters in the story are structures, and what they're doing is the process. So when you see in the story where Pharaoh is speaking to the midwives, and then the midwives are speaking to Pharaoh, all speech is in flux. And the way that we experience that is that when something of the Lord is approaching, our objection, the thoughts that we bring to resist that, are flowing out of what's termed Pharaoh. And when the midwives are speaking, that is those thoughts that arise to counter that. So we have this kind of pull going on within our mind so far as these two different modes of being are. So I think that just remembering that the individual characters, midwife, Pharaoh, sons of Israel, these are all structures of the mind. The way parts of the mind are organized, either in terms of being receptive of what is flowing in, so far as, you know, consciously receptive of what is of the Lord flowing in, or resistant to it. So just by way of the text itself and the idea of what are termed scientifics, facts, memory, knowledge, whatever term you want to use, we live in a world in which truth is fact. So this is the realm of the sensual or the serpent. And what we are being presented with here is that facts are spun in accordance with the love that's active. And you have that illustrated so far as those psychological structures or mental structures that are represented by the midwife and by Pharaoh and Egypt. So the important thing to remember is that facts in the word are there to support truths. And facts in the word don't have to be 100% accurate factual account of things. That's not their function. The word is not there to give us a history. The word is there to support our regeneration. And so the facts of the word, the text, is arranged in a way that can support that. And it supports it through our participation with it, in it. So by entering into the text, we enter into a process, and that process is supported by the facts, but the facts are not truths. Okay, so it's a really important idea to get hold of, particularly with the upcoming interchapter material, which is Earths in the Universe. So the Lord is not providing information about others outside of ourselves or outside of our own process. That's the principle you come from, despite what the letter might present. So this is where it is important. You know, this is what Logopraxis emphasizes, is finding the principle. Now, the way things are arranged in terms of the interchapter material is that, you know, the natural man understands it one way, the spiritual man will understand it another. But as you engage with that material, what you will find, I think, well, I think most of us, I speak for myself in this, in my own struggle with this material over the years, is that actually the gold in this material is its ability to produce insights into our attitude toward the word when it doesn't fit with our own way of thinking about things. That's the gold, because in that, what's revealed is Pharaoh and what Pharaoh represents, and our struggle and coming through to be able to receive a principle out of it, the midwife and what the midwives represent as receivers of what is good and true. So I just highlight that because it'll be an interesting process in reading that material to see where our attention goes, where our mind goes as we work through it. So the facts are powerful in terms of when they're linked to a historical story. Historicals draw the mind powerfully into them, and it's hard to get out of that, removing person, place, time, and space, to find what is more spiritual. This is what logopraxis is about in terms of our work with the text, right? And we'll find a different experience with the interchapter material. There's that whole section in here that talks about rivers, and a lot of the quotes are from the prophets. And the comment is that without the spiritual sense, you've got no way of understanding what this is about. That holds for the whole of the word, not just for the prophets. It holds for the historicals, and it holds for the interchapter material. Those facts are exactly the same, but we get a contrast of attitude depending on what part of the word we're working with. So it's all there to support our regeneration and to make us more aware of the quality of our states as we engage with the text, our responses to the text.